September 29th, 2013, afternoon service. Psalm 26 of David. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Here David says, test me and try me. He was such a good student of the Lord, and he's asking for more test. Gee, I'm not sure if I could be a friend with such an honor student. But in any rate, as you live as a Christian, you begin to understand what David is saying. There are times that God allows certain experience in our lives so that he could test our hearts and attitude, and this is only for our benefit. Because many times, we don't even know our own heart. When we find out from the test that our true heart was not in the right place, there is no reason to despair. We just have to adjust our heart and move on. I know that Japanese tend to be perfectionists, that they only ask for all or nothing. But I believe we can embrace the process in the middle, and when you see the wrongs in the test, just correct those points. If we avoid this testing, and we do not know our true heart, and trusting our own ability, when the big problem comes, you might not be able to handle the situation, or it might even cost you a life. That's why it is a blessing that the Lord tests our heart, and for us to discover what we are made of. At a previous workplace, I used to be involved with the testing of the electronic equipment. One day, my boss was contacted by a well-known printer manufacturer, and he was called to come to their office, and I went along with him. So we went to Shibuya, and we were told that they received complaints from the consumers that their printer, which was already in the market, would start a fire while in operation. Normally, before a new product is introduced to the market, the manufacturer would test the product using an outside, the third-party testing company. The testing procedure usually includes from checking the temperature of the machine to smashing the machine with a steel rod to see if the dangerous circuit is touching the power source. If the object is light, they would drop from a high place to see the degree of the damage. They do all sorts of testing, and those tests are usually very rough on the equipment, and they are expected to withstand those treatments. If they have no problem and continue to function, they pass the test. If they fail, the manufacturer has to correct those parts before introducing it to the market. So going back to the story of the printer, we found out that this printer did not go through this third-party testing process and only approved by the internal staff. The executive of the company was saying in a meeting that this was supposed to be this way and that was supposed to be that way, but they never went through the outside product testing. So after hearing what they told us, my boss and I were expected to say something. My boss was reluctant to speak because there was a big guy sitting there, so I remember speaking on his behalf saying just one thing, that they need to go through the outside third-party testing. If you introduce a product which has not gone through the testing process, you're asking for trouble, like this equipment which started a fire. Later, I found out that they did send the product to an outside third-party testing and corrected what needed to be corrected. So testing that God is giving us is the same as this. You might say you're perfect on this and perfect on that, but you never know until you go through the testing process. There are various ways to test the equipment, like dropping it from a high place to a continual operation for several hours to see if the machine does not get dangerously hot. They usually do that for an AC and a heater. or they would block one of the ventilating openings to see if the machine does not start a fire. They put the machine through tremendously stressful conditions, and that's how they find out if the machine is durable. It is the same thing with us. We do not know what we are made of unless we go through the test. That's why David says, "Test me, Lord, and try me." If we produced a fire in the first time we were tested, then corrected, then we could pass the test in the second time. So when God gives us a test, He is not bullying us. Rather, it is only for our benefit, and all we need to do is to correct ourselves if we did not pass the test. So it is not for all or nothing, just correct what needs to be corrected. And when we discover our true self, there's no reason to be upset. We should rather be thankful. If we did not know, there is no way for us to correct the error. When you see people who have never been tested by God, you often see them stumbling later in their life. So those who are tested from very young age, we might feel that God is punishing us, but it is far from it. But this is out of His love for us. I never thought it was His love, but now I know that it is because He loves us. The verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. David says, I have walked in thy truth. And that means your blessings were always in front of my eyes, and that's why I have walked in thy truth. And he says, I have walked in your truth, not momentarily, but be able to do so continually is a blessing. In a baseball, if you bat long enough, you might hit a ball once or twice, but hitting the ball once does not bring you a victory. You have to continually hit the ball over and over again. And you also need to continue to walk in His truth. Also, having lived as a Christian for a long time, I know now that you need special blessings to be able to continually live in the truth. When I was young, there were many teachers and pastors that I admired, but as I matured, I realized that many were wrong. All the respected pastors and teachers I knew who were preaching about the end time all died before the end time. So it is difficult to walk in the truth all the time because we all make mistakes in reality. But when the Lord gives us tests, we are able to see the truth. And as we pass more tests, we can find more of His truth in our lives. As for the remnant church, we were able to find the truth about the end time and about the third temple, and we are able to embrace many more truths. Of course, not from the beginning, but nowadays, especially, we feel that way. This is because we see God's blessing in front of our eyes. I believe this church, though small and we have nothing, we always have the truth because of His blessing. So please remember that passing God's given test and continual walk in truth is nothing but blessing. So verse 4 and 5 say, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I consort with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I have not sat with vain persons means you are not to associate with evil people. This does not make you an antisocial, but you have to obey the Bible. This not sitting next to the person is the same as not associate with the evil person. As you learn from the morning sermon, some of us might yield to human understanding, saying that they feel bad for not mingling with everybody, or I was sit next to that person out of love. But if you continue to participate the assembly of evildoers out of obligation, you will end up having your belief twisted. For example, if you see people who are associating with the holiness group, they all have the similar look. They're supposed to be pursuing the justice, but in pursuing the justice, they started nitpicking and they have become very legalistic. So if you affiliate with them, if you are affiliated with them, you will be influenced by them. The same thing with the Catholics. If you sit under their teachings long enough, your belief will be influenced by them too. So, congregation of evildoers and the verse 5 could also mean something of this nature when people gather outside of God's truth. I know some Catholic people, and they are all mistaken in a very similar way. So when you sit under a different teaching, you really have to be careful. If you sit under the wrong teaching, the one who suffers from the consequence is you. It does not mean that everyone has to come to Remnant Church, but I want you to be aware of that. I will wash mine hands in innocence, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place thine honor dwells. Here, habitation of thy house is the church. There are churches where there is God's glory, and there are some churches which have evil presence, though I don't mention where. Whether to sit where God's glory is felt or to be where there is evil presence, the decision is yours, but it would affect your life tremendously. As I mentioned before, from Proverbs, adulterous woman, and her customer is walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in. Such a scary scene, and the same thing with the church. And do not sit in the church where there is a deception and the dark of the night sets in. Verse 9 and 10. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. There will be a time when all the sinners and bloodthirsty men will be gathered by God. Just like the story of wheat and tare, the tare will be burned. So there will be gathering by God. So do not be labeled as one of them. So do not go to a gathering of strange spirit. Unfortunately, starting with the Pentecostal, there are many gatherings that have demonic influence. So if you sit under their teachings, you will be labeled as one of them. Verse 11 and 12. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot stands on the level place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. As David is saying that he is standing on a level place, it is an important thing to note. If you're standing on the cliff, you will fall. I just read in a newspaper that a woman who was walking at night fell off the cliff. It was dark and she wanted to walk on the dry leaves. So when she went to the side of the road, she just fell and then had to be rescued. It is God's blessing to walk on a level ground in any situations. Finding a good church is also the same as finding a level ground. When I was young, I was going to another church, which created not a level ground, but a rather dangerous path for me. I would not say the name, but it was in Nerima. And when I was 16 or 17, it was that church where I was baptized. But as I continued to go there, I started seeing the problems. For example, during the summertime, they would receive a student from a seminary for training. I talked to the seminarian from Toshin University, a well-known seminary, well-known for strange teaching. I was there as 16 or 17-year-old, pursuing God and sincerely trying to find who Christ was for me, and I was deciding to follow Him. Then the seminarian came and told me that Christ never resurrected. I was stunned. Though I was a few years younger than him, and I just got saved, I talked back to him, and it became a heated argument. I would not be stunned if such an argument came from my school teachers or other students of my high school, because they were non-believers. I think, though I don't remember well, I was telling everyone about my faith and evangelizing in my school, because I do remember seeing some people from my school at a Christian camp because of my talk. I was very pure, and I was saying what I sincerely believed. Even during the high school trip, before the bedtime, I was telling all the boys in my room about my belief in God. And the boy named Suzuki stepped in and had to forewarn everyone that my head was immersed with things of Christ. There was another boy I was always talking to about God, which first he got upset. But later on, he started telling me that he feels like there could be God. What I'm saying is that I was purely doing what I knew to do. So if I see some resistance at my school, I would not be shocked. But I was shocked when I heard some words coming out of those seminarians at my church. Those seminarians were not there to serve the church, but to pull down our legs. I left the church a year later or so. I felt like I was not standing on the level ground. I was standing on the place where my leg could be pulled down. So I moved to a new place, and I was glad I did it. So my hope for this remnant church is to provide you a level ground where your feet could stand on. I don't want to create a place where there are people who pull your legs, or there is a hole on the ground. That's why we try to provide a level ground on the theology of end time and correct understanding of Revelation and such. That's how you stand on the level ground, so that you won't fall. This exchange with the seminarian was a heavy burden for me as a high school student. And even more shocking was, in the following summer, I went to a church summer camp in Nagano. And I met more seminarians like this at the camp. They all said Christ was not risen, and they told me that I was the one who was ignorant. I felt my ground was shaky there. So if you know the Lord, please be careful where you sit and receive the teaching, and seek for a level ground that would make a huge difference when things start shaking around you in your life. And find a place where, in the congregations, will I bless the Lord.